Good morning. Glory to Jesus Christ. I think the door was left open. You get that? Thank you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. One day, two monks were walking through the countryside on their way to another monastery to help bring in the crops. As they walked, they met an old woman sitting at the edge of the river. She was upset because there was no bridge, and she could not get across the river. The first monk kindly offered, says, we will carry you across if you would like. Thank you, she said gratefully, and accepted their help. So the two men joined hands, lifted her between them, and carried her across the river. And when we got to the other side, they set her down, and she went on her way. After they had walked a mile or so, the second monk began to complain to the first. Look at my clothes, they are filthy from carrying that woman across the river. And my back hurts from lifting her. I could feel it getting stiff. The first monk just smiled in wisdom and nodded his head. A few miles later up the road, the second monk griped again. My back is hurting me so bad, and it is all because we had to carry that silly woman across the river. I cannot go any further because of the pain. The first monk looked at his partner, who's now laying on the ground moaning. Have you wondered why I am not complaining? He asked. Your back hurts because you're still carrying around a woman, but I'd set her down 5 miles ago. In this parable, this woman is the image of someone who has wronged us, whether it was intentional or not. The complaining monk is the person who chooses to not forgive the wrong. All of us, at one time or another, have been wronged, the victim of someone's bad behavior, meaning that we've been greatly offended, we're hurt by someone. Maybe we were publicly disrespected or purposely embarrassed, been deeply betrayed by a friend, or maybe by a loved one or a spouse, been a victim of some sort of prejudice based on our skin color, our heritage, or our socioeconomic status, been a victim of abuse, maybe emotional, or physical or psychological, a victim of a crime. Maybe we've had an unfair loss of employment. I could go on and on. When someone says something that is hurtful and nasty to us, or something that is very wrong to us, it is our pride that is injured. And our pride comes from our ego. And so what's an ego? It's kind of got a bad rap. Ego is a passion. And passions are a good thing. They're God-given, and to understand what a passion is. Hunger is the passion. It's a good passion. It's the desire to eat. Perverted, it becomes gluttony. Sleep is a passion. Sleep is a good thing. Perverted, it is sloth. Ego is a passion to survive. For example, you know, a rat would go around having his whole day happy, hiding, running away from people and everything else. But you corner it, what's it going to do? It's going to come out fighting, right? It fights to survive. A drowning person, right, will fight with every drop of energy they have in order to survive. So ego ego perverted is the sin of pride. And it goes this way. I am better than you. I put myself above you. It results in what? Selfishness? Imposing our will on other people? It becomes less love for others or a lack of love for others? And when someone offends us, our ego says, hold it against them. Ego causes us, if we let our ego go unchecked, we'll be unforgiving. And because of our ego, we self-justify our feelings. The perverted ego desires even retaliation. And we play the offense over and over again in our minds and nurture resentment. Animosity grows, and we can even become bitter towards the one who offended us. Now think about this. The other person who offended us, they're wrong, but they don't create the anger, the rage, the resentment, the bitterness, the animosity that's in our heart, because we foster it. It's all self-created. It's what we do with it. We create it on our own. Like the complaining monk, We could choose to carry the resentment, or we can just take and put it down. We are the only ones responsible for our feelings and thoughts and how we handle it. It is solely in our power to forgive and move on. So today's gospel is our Lord's response to Peter's question. Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times. So why does Peter say this? At that time, Rabbi said, if somebody offended you, you're only obligated to forgive them three times. So Peter's thinking, oh, we go the extra mile, right? Jesus taught us, we go the extra mile. So it must be seven times, right? He guesses at that. And then Jesus responds and says, it is more than going the extra mile. It is an unlimited walk. Jesus says to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. This means that we're supposed to forgive ever, forever, never-ending forgiveness. And then to reinforce this teaching, Jesus told today's parable, the parable of the merciful king and the unmerciful servant. And this merciful king is the image of God. And this merciful king forgives an insurmountable debt. The word in Greek there is medios, which means countless, beyond. You know, it says 10,000 there because that's a later meaning of the word myriad, but it means just beyond count, countless. For our purposes, billions of dollars, millions of dollars, something like that, okay? So the merciful king forgives this great amount, a debt that the servant in his whole lifetime couldn't pay back. And then, once this debt is forgiven, the servant goes searching for his fellow servant who owed him a tiny debt by comparison, very small debt, a few days' work or maybe... Different scholars say 50 or 100 days work, it doesn't really matter, but it's a small debt in comparison. And when he finds the second servant, he grabs him by the throat. That's pretty aggressive, all right? And when the second servant begs for mercy, says, oh, I'll pay you, the servant instead mercilessly has him thrown into a debtor's prison. And debtor's prison, we don't have them today. Today we have laws that say you can file for bankruptcy, right? We don't go to prison until someone could pay it. But then, you went to prison and found a family member had to pay it for you, or a friend, or whatever it was, or you stayed there. At the foundation of the unmerciful servant's sin is his lack of love, his lack of mercy for his neighbor. We just sang a minute ago, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Mercy is love in action. Mercy is loving kindness. And mercy for others arises from our love for others. This beatitude could be said, blessed are those who love others, for they will receive God's love. When a merciful king learns of the servant's lack of mercy, he summons him and says, you wicked servant, I forgave all your debt because you besought me. And should you not have mercy, should you not have love, on your fellow servant, as I had mercy, as I had love on you. In other words, why are you not doing for others what I have done for you, he's saying. God says to us, why don't you do for others what I have done for you? So St. Ticon of Sidon says this, our love towards our neighbor is intertwined with our love for God. When love toward our neighbor is destroyed, so is love our love towards God. And it follows that if we want to be reconciled with God and have peace with him, we must first be reconciled with our neighbor, and then we ask for God's mercy. Abraham Lincoln, one of my favorite quotes from him, said, I have no enemies, I forgave them all. St. Silwan says this, if you forgive, it means that God has forgiven you. But if you do not forgive your brother, it means that your sin remains with you. No one was more wrong than our Lord when he hung on that cross. And just before he took his last breath, do you recall what he said? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. That's love. He forgave immediately. All those people that brought him to that moment. Some closing thoughts. And I want this is an important word on forgiveness. You know, when someone offends us, it's bad, okay? But forgiveness does not mean that we accept or approve or agree with the person who offended us, or we agree with the offensive act. Forgiveness simply means that we're letting it go and not letting it let it own us. And if we are struggling to forgive someone, we pray for them. That's the teaching. When they offend, you know, we'll go, that person hurt us, you know, 2 months ago, 2 weeks ago, 2 years ago. And it rises up in our heart, we get angry and everything else. The teaching is, right away we pray for the other so that we can see the other as Christ sees them, with mercy and with love. It happens somehow mystically in us, and we grow soft. We see them, and we're able to at least reconcile on some level in our hearts. We do eventually find forgiveness when we pray for, literally pray for our enemy. Church fathers say we're as close to God as we are to our enemies. That's very important. So, brothers and sisters, to forgive is to love. The Holy Apostle Peter, love covers a multitude of sins. So to forgive is to love. And when someone asks for forgiveness, the Orthodox response is this: God forgives and I forgive. To him be glory, honor, and worship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.